I've been asked many times, what are your swing thoughts as you're swinging?
Well, I try to flat load my feet so I can snap load my power pack. As long as my number two power accumulator doesn't break down, I can reach maximum lag and drag pressure through impact fix. You see, the pivot is the utilization of multiple centers.
Golf is geometrically oriented linear force.
And if you think of all this, hopefully you'll hit shots like this.
Welcome to episode 6 of Full Swing Thoughts, a Friday golf podcast discussing each episode of Full Swing, the Netflix docuseries on golf, professional golf, mostly PGA Tour golf, but starting to get into Ryder Cup golf here at the end of the season. We are through 5 episodes. Episode 6 is entitled Pick 6, referring to Zach, as JT amusingly and lovingly, to my delight, called Zach Johnson quickly and off the cuff as they walked into, I think, a Phoenix rental house at the start of the year at the Waste Management Open. Zach's decision to round out his roster. They do not get to this decision. They leave us with a cliffhanger at the end of the episode. Of course, golf fans, non-golf fans, you know how that roster shook out, but it's telling a story. And so 7 and 8 look like it's all roads lead to Rome part one and part two, or, you know, Ryder Cup part one and part two. So it feels like they got some access to the Ryder Cup, and this was going to be it's a major part of the year, right? It hangs over, as this episode sort of illuminates, hangs over a massive part of the year, and they took a swing and made it 3-ish episodes. And I think people probably appreciate that. Do you agree with that, Joseph?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the first 3 episodes of this season were kind of bangers as we've described them, and then maybe 2 a little bit sleepier ones in the middle, and then we're going to round it out with 3 hopefully strong, exciting ones about the Ryder Cup. So yeah, that'll be an interesting litmus test if it's too much Ryder Cup,
yeah.
But I don't think it will be. I think it'll be pretty compelling.
Yeah, I think back on last year and you like wonder what else you would have done. I guess you could have done a little bit more live. Like, that was kind of the first part of the season, though. The first 2, the game has changed, the merger. There wasn't a lot around the merger. Like, I don't know how much access you were going to get. Even if there was like pack meetings and things like that.
Live Adelaide, but maybe, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. But I think like people love the Ryder Cup. They love the drama around the roster. And I'm glad they did this episode. I think like my big, like, bold note for this, as we talk about generalities here, was like, holy shit, Netflix got like an incredible year for this roster drama, because there are so many years in recent years, right, where recent iterations of the Ryder Cup, where it's pretty straightforward. Top 12 are going, whether it's captains or auto or whatever it is, or if it's not 12, top 12, it's Tiger is functioning at the moment, or Phil is functioning, and it's like, you take them. And you don't all of a sudden have this quote unquote heart and soul guy who can't even make the playoffs. And then the guys who win it, like, this was the best possible year ever to have an episode about roster debates. And they got it. And Netflix got it. And a couple of the main characters acquiesced to access. I thought that was like, wow, they were blessed with that chance.
That's a great point. It's not always going to turn out that way. And the JT Keegan, I guess if there's any, I'm not, this criticism's too strong, but like, there were other players that were in the mix too that it doesn't really mention, which is fine. Yep. I understand what they're doing. They're profiling a story with the players in the episode. I think I understand that more than I did in season 1. Like, I get it. They're not going to talk about Cam Young, Russell Henley, and Lucas Glover. Like, they're just not. But I agree with your point. JT struggling and that kind of makes the whole episode.
And this was like content, like, as we do podcasts and newsletters, like, this was massive, like, every week, basically from about mid-July or late June on. It was like the JT debate, and they got it for the year they were doing their docuseries, and it's awesome. So I did have a funny note towards the end of the episode where they're doing the standings, and it's like 1, 2, 3, and they just keep going down, and they highlight Keegan. And then they highlight JT. Keegan's like 9th or something, and JT's 14th. I believe it's at Wyndham. And I'm like, well, like, all these guys are on the team, and like, who are they? We know there was like more involved. There was more debate. And I like jump up. I was like, holy shit, Cam Young is 8th. Like, it's crazy. Like, I was trying to remember who else was omitted. And it's Cam Young. He's 8th in whatever it is, mid, late, early August. And like, I get it. Like, Cam Young's story for this episode would not have been like, Keegan was a great, perfect choice.
Yep.
Like way more than Cam Young, but it was just like, there was more to the story than just Keegan versus JT. I still think it was well told and well framed in that way. All right, let's get to it. I think we've hit on most everything here. It's JT, it's Keegan, it's the Ryder Cup roster debate. It's how they battle for it. There's a lot of Zach. There's a lot of Zach Johnson in this episode. He's at home on the island. I've got Travelers Championship. It's JT basically at every major. It's missing the cut at the Masters. Is there no PGA? There's a U.S. Open disaster, shooting 81, and then missing the cut at the Open as the Ryder Cup.
A little
Cup
PGA,
really
not
close.
Much. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, those like JT at those three majors, and then Zach Phoenix Open, and then Keegan's win at the Travelers. So that's your episode six, pick six. Let's get to our awards. Why don't you, or I'll start us off. I'll start us off. We'll start easy with this one.
Oh, don't say it. That's a terrible qualifier. Now I'm just going to feel worse if I miss it.
No, light. We'll start light. No, we'll start easy. We'll start easy then. I'll go a different direction. I think you might remember this one. The Saying the Quiet Part Out Loud Award.
Oh.
Saying the Quiet Part Out Loud Award.
I think they're... are multiple.
There's a lot of options. You're right.
There's a lot of options here.
That's
probably hard to whittle it. There's one quote I have from JT. I'm going to be nice to Zach all year so that if I don't make it on points, hopefully he'll give me a pick. Is that the quote you're going for?
No, I have that in there because he was saying that facetiously. Like he would not facetious, but he was saying it very obvious. Like he's not hiding anything there. He's not hiding it right there.
Okay. Is it the interview at the Open Championship when they ask Zach Johnson if he's concerned about Justin Thomas's game? And he says, well, as a friend, yes.
Friend.
But...
No, there's so much of the boys club stuff in this. It's just oozing boys club stuff.
What are you
This was
for?
A good one. I don't think JT was, he walked himself into it. I don't think he intended to go there, but this is how I took it. And I think Netflix tried to let him sort of not hang himself, but pull his own pants down basically. He talks about the game of golf and how he's struggling and how he's like, obviously he's done a lot in the game, but he's way down in the dumps. He said, this game just doesn't owe you anything. Just because I won X amount of times and I feel like I'm going to win a lot more, or I feel like I deserve it because of who I am. That's just not a thing in the game of golf. Talking about how you don't owe anything, or I deserve it because of who I am. Within the context of an episode about him getting a Ryder Cup spot, basically because of what he's done in the past, not currently, who his relationships are with, and who his name is, was pretty interesting. And it was not addressing the Ryder Cup debate. It was about his own struggles. And that's the difference between making a captain's picks where there's a lot of politics involved and having to go out and win and earn it and make the playoffs and accrue FedEx Cup points and actually perform. I thought it was an interesting, you said the quiet part out loud about this episode when you weren't necessarily on that subject.
But I'm fair? With you. I guess the only maybe pushback would be that like JT wasn't the one making the captain's picks. Like I actually think like, we'll get into some of this more, I'm sure, as we discuss the episode, but I don't have a problem with the guys who are like joking around like JT and currying favor with Zach Johnson. Like my issue
is the person
making those decisions and facilitating some of those situations. So I had that quote written down. I guess I don't peg it to JT as much as I would to Zach Johnson. It's a good award, though. I agree.
That was not a criticism of JT at all. I just found it an incredible descriptor for how the game is played and then how the captain's picks are played. And it's just, it's totally the opposite. So JT, I think, comes off great in this episode and has all season. I've loved JT, even if you thought his Mito pop was distasteful in whatever that was, episode one. I've loved him in this episode. All right, what's your award? Go ahead.
A lot of personality and some flair, some edge, which the PGA Tour and just professional golf needs. It needs some guys who are kind of willing to like, break down the wall a little bit and show some edge. So I'm with you.
Yep.
I don't know which order to do these in, but I think I'll switch what I had because I want to play off of what you were just doing there, but I'll go with best transition. You did this to me earlier in an earlier episode is either episode one or two. Netflix does a good job of cutting from scene to scene and kind of telling a story with that cut. So I want to go with this transition.
I know what it is. I think. I'm guessing. All right. So they do the dinner. They're seated around the dinner table, and it's JT is Ryder Cup life is on the line in his dinner and his rental house is with the freaking captain. He's got Spieth, who's going to make the team. He's got Ricky, who's going to make the team, all on captain's picks with the captain and their wives, two wives. I think it's Ricky and JT's wife. And it's this kind of chatterbox scene. And then they go to Keegan alone in a dark hotel room. There's no light. And he's just clearly got his shit like strewn all over the place. And it's just, that's a bachelor, like it's a solo guy's extended stay hotel room. Is that it?
That is it. I thought that was extremely well executed.
Who's in the crowd? Who's in the buddies? And then who's kind of out on his own, hoping like his play speaks for itself. It was a really good transition.
Totally.
All right, I'll jump to a next one. I got three, so I'll do three, and you do, you know, we'll kind of go back and forth. I don't want to do another. All right. Most relatable dad moment. And you are a young whippersnapper. You do not have children. You know, this is a hard one. I'm kind of jamming you here.
No, I
the
think
most
I can
relatable
get,
dad moment.
I think I can get there.
You is can. It, there were a couple
is it
dads.
The Johnson parents like quizzing their kids on Zach's career.
Yes. Good job. Yes. It's kind of amazing. I found this super endearing. How little ZJ's kids care about his golf life and his accomplishments. Not that they don't care, but like they bring a little dose of, your kids can bring you a dose of humility. Like you come home, like I was just the Masters. I was in the media center at the Met. Like, I don't care what you were doing or who you are or what you did. Like, not that I'm anybody or like have any of that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like they don't care that you hit a drive 300 yards or you made a birdie or like they really just kind of don't care or you made a great dinner, whatever it is. I found it hilarious that they thought he won the Masters. They're pretty sure he won the Masters. They were locked in on that one. His daughter didn't know what his second major was. His son kind of did, maybe was playing coy, but like the British Open, right? But they wouldn't say the old course, St. Andrews or whatever. It was just kind of amusing. And then they clearly, I think even his wife maybe didn't know the whole, or the kids didn't know the deal for the Ryder Cup, right? Like how many picks you get, what you actually have to do, what his duties even entail. And this is like, I love that. This is how kids are. Like your dad has won the Masters and an Open at the old course. And he's the Ryder Cup captain, and there's all this, and his kids who aren't like two, they're older. Like, I love that they kind of keep, let them like, they don't, that's not the moon, the sun, and the stars of their family and their whole lives and their households. I enjoyed that it was keeping them humble. Anyways.
Well, maybe this is the difference in me not having kids and you having kids. I was almost impressed by how much the kid knew that the boy.
Oh, really?
I don't know how old these kids are. I don't have the best gauge of now.
Eight
seeing
to 12,
a toddler.
I would say. Eight to eight. I would say they were like 8 or 9 to like 12.
The kid was 12. The
daughter
is 12.
Son. I don't know. 10. I'm saying somewhere
seemed
in
younger
there.
Younger to me. But yeah, okay. I don't know. I thought he was, I guess I was at least somewhat impressed that he even knew, like, oh, that's not a team event or that's a team event. But it is amusing the more that you unpack it. Like, yeah, they really don't know that much. So
I loved it. That was the most relatable dad moment. Pop in your back. So
fair enough.
Love that.
Can I give you my award?
Yes. Go for it.
The craziest decision that impacts your entire family award. This is going to be, if you can get to this.
The craziest decision that impacts your entire family award.
I don't know if you can get it.
Is it
some of
something
these aren't
about
to
Patriots, Bills fan? He won't let his son be a Bills fan. Zach, is it something with Zach being captain?
Yeah, kind of. I think naming the dogs Augusta and St. Andrews is crazy.
Okay, I didn't pick up on that. I saw that the one was called Augusta. I missed the second one then.
So they're called Augie and Andy for Augusta National Johnson and St. Andrews Johnson, which is crazy to me. As somebody that did not really get to weigh in that much on what my family dog's name was, and that was more of a decision from a parent, and so that's what we were stuck with for 8 years of that good boy's life. I like can relate to those kids being like, it's Augie and Andy for the two golf courses on which my dad
won. How did they
won?
Not
like,
recall the master, the majors he'd won then? If they got the dog's name, maybe they just call him Augie and Andy and the purpose of it is lost on them. For
isn't that crazy?
Kids.
Am I wrong? Am I the crazy one here? Is that insane to name your dogs that?
I don't know. I think it's fine. It fits. I guess
it's pretty self-indulgent, no?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, if the kids were okay with it, if they let the kids sit, like they gave them right of first refusal on it, then I'm okay with it. Now, if they just imposed it and they're like, all right, Augie and Andy, now the kids are kids, so just go with it. So indulgent, it is a little bit self-indulgent. So
felt pretty self-indulgent to me.
Good note you picked up on. All right, last award, the Get a Thesaurus Award.
The Get a Thesaurus Award?
Get a Thesaurus Award.
Oh, I think I know this one. There's a word that's used. Oh, Zach Johnson formulate.
Oh, he did. No, but that's a good one. I love Zach is awkward. We knew that. He's not great on the mic. Formulate, or what was it? Computate, formulate.
He said his role as a captain is formulating 12 guys to go compete and represent Team USA.
Yes, like, and I was sitting on the couch. I remember.
Is that the best word there?
I stopped on that one. This is not a critique either, but JT, they asked him for one word to describe his season, and he tried to think really deep and hard for something profound and like unique. And he like looks around and he just like, I'm just going to go with shitty.
Yeah.
Maybe piss poor. And this was not, it just amused me how he like was trying to go for something that was, I don't know, more all-encompassing or unique. And he just goes shitty. And I don't know. I thought that was...
He funny. Also was talking about his majors and referred to the... So they were all poor, but the PGA Championship's the one that went the least poorly. Or I think
more
it was said...
More poorly or less poorly? It was grammatically incorrect, I believe. Whatever
By
he
a
said.
Long shot.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Whatever it was, it didn't come out right.
More poorlier or something. I remember making a note of that.
It was crazy.
Yes. All right, let's get to it. Let's get into more of it. The big thing for me, as we talked about with the transition, obviously is the Boys Club. It is. We knew this was a thing. I mean, again, Netflix got a great year for it because this was a captain that, like, not only was there debate and drama around the picks, but the captain is like so baked into the scene. Like, he is not Tom Watson. He is not, I don't know, Jim Furyk even. Like, he's this guy who gets a rental house with them every year at the Open Championship. I'm not saying this was calculated move by Spieth, Ricky, and JT. They do this every year when he's not the Ryder Cup captain too. But holy cow, this was like the theme, right? And we don't get to the actual picks, but this is it. I'm going to be really nice to Zach all year. If I don't make the points, hopefully he'll make me a pick. I want to kiss his ass. That's what he says. I think they're in their Phoenix rental house together at that point, at the very start of the year, and JT's struggles haven't come on. So he's like making a crack. Maybe they think it's kind of likely going to happen then or whatever. What did you make of that quote? You wrote it down, you said. Did that set off real alarm bells? You think it was just kind of joshing?
Well, Brendan, you and I talked about this on a podcast last summer. Like, I had a problem with them sharing a rental house. I don't care if they do it every year. I think the appearance of impropriety is enough here, and that the captain should be removing themselves from a situation like that where they are lodging with somebody that is in contention to get a captain's pick. Zach Johnson's a millionaire. I don't care that that's your routine. Like, get a hotel room, man. Like, I really do feel that way. Do you disagree? Like, I think the appearance of impropriety is a massive, massive problem. It's not just a problem in a vacuum. It's a problem the PGA Tour has with who's in, who's not in. And when you take something as seriously as the Ryder Cup,
Yeah. PAC board members getting sponsors exemptions to the Pebble Beach and that kind
great
of stuff.
Great example.
It's the appearance of it.
Right. The Ryder Cup means a lot to a lot of people. And if you're going to take your job seriously, as you should, and I think Zach Johnson took his job seriously, I think you need to avoid those optics. I have a legitimate problem with it.
And I should note, when JT makes the quote about, I got to kiss his ass, I got to be really nice to him, ZJ says, I do like free houses, free food. I don't like politics. I don't like being lobbied, but I do like free houses and free food. He's joking. He's making a joke about how he can be whatever, bought or whatever. It's a joke. It is a joke. But it's on camera, and I'm with you. I'm completely with you. I wrote this down. Do I think JT was the wrong pick? No, not necessarily. Do I think like Adam Scott getting an exemption is wrong? No, not necessarily. But it's the process and the appearance of impropriety. I had the appearance of impropriety. I don't think they're necessarily being crooked. I don't think they're necessarily being bought. But the appearance of impropriety.
What does that mean, though? What does it mean that they're not being crooked? It is a subjective decision.
Okay, I'm thinking more about the PAC boards and the sponsors exemptions. But yeah, of course. Like, the process stinks. It is a boys club process. It's. I think JT and Keegan do it same for the same reasons. JT should have probably been on the Ryder Cup team. I think when I look back on it, I have quotes to the contrary that made it into this episode. I didn't know I was going to be in this episode. I think that was me about how he's not deserving. I think there was context around that. I think like this is sort of what you've wanted all along, is JT like someone who like this means the world to them. We've had generations of players. Keegan, unfortunately, is also one of them and was the other protagonist in this episode. I think JT was probably someone you want to keep in the Ryder Cup year over year over year, unless it gets super bad. It got close to that this year. I think he's probably a good pick, but the entire process of it was so crooked, and this episode draws it out. It draws it out, like ZJ being such a close friend, even if it's the right pick, the process of getting there makes you feel like shit about it. Even if you think he's the right pick, it makes you feel like something's wrong, something was done improper. Is that fair? What is it? Do you think something was crooked or not crooked? Or do you?
No, I'm just saying when you said I'm not saying it's being crooked, like, What would be crooked? Because this is a subjective decision. And I think to say, well, I removed my bias. I know he's a friend, but I removed my bias. You can't truly remove your bias on something like that.
I think what would be crooked if there's like a smoking gun, like these guys have the same agent and, you know, they both have like this, it behooves this agent to have this guy in the Ryder Cup. That may be the case. I don't know who Zach's agent is. They're both like, play for this, or there was a deal that this would have, like, that would be really like crooked.
Sure.
There was like a smoking gun like that.
I agree. It's not like truly crooked. I'm just saying it's not like then he ended up qualifying on points. Like, it is at the end of the day a subjective decision. I felt strongly Cam Young should have been on the team. Whatever. We can have disagreements over Cam Young, JT, Keegan, etc. But I think what I would want to have faith in is that the process was objective and that somebody like a Cam Young or a Keegan Bradley did get a fair shake. And I think the Netflix episode did a good job of saying, like, yeah, there are a lot of people hoping Keegan Bradley's getting a fair shake here. And it doesn't, I don't want to say he didn't, but staying in the same house and then Justin comes home from his round and they're going through their rounds. And I'm sure Zach's like, oh, he was close to, he's starting to get it back. Like, that's just an opportunity that somebody like Keegan Bradley doesn't have. So I have a real problem with it.
Yeah. You think the episode did a great job of sort of showing this process, right? I think picking Keegan and then, I mean, if I'm Zach, I'm not happy about this episode. I look back on it, especially like come July, they had to know the crucible of like what was happening and the potential appearance. Maybe he's so sort of obtuse that he didn't, but like, at that point, I'm like, I don't know if I'm letting Netflix cameras show the closeness of this relationship with JT Spieth
and saying stuff on camera.
Yeah, I get it. I get it almost at Phoenix, like they maybe couldn't have expected. But still, yeah, you got to be protective about that. And maybe I'm making Netflix's job harder here to do it ever again. But that is just, you got to read the room there come July when it's clearly an issue.
I also think that on that, they did a really good job showing how much the Ryder Cup means to Keegan Bradley. I think they did it pairs nicely with the whole subplot of JT trying to get in, like what that Ryder Cup means to Keegan, how much it's a part of his identity, how much his wife knows that, like the unpacked backpack from the 2012 Ryder Cup, like Keegan talking about his resume would change at the end of his career if he has a winning Ryder Cup experience. Like, I think they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, I think Keegan was a great character. I didn't expect that necessarily, but certainly within the lens of a Ryder Cup, he's one of the guys you would want to tell the story for, battling for a spot. Just to reiterate, he had a great quote, kind of maybe unintended, about being on the outside, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, I feel little like I'm on the outside looking in. Pause. Wait, I feel like a lot. I feel a lot, actually. I am. I'm not just a little on the outside looking on. Then he thinks about it. I feel a lot like I am. So there's that sense, that moment of he's trying to be a little cliche there. He's trying to just say, like, I'm on the outside looking in. And then there's sort of that real moment of feeling like isolated. I'm not in the club. These guys are younger. They came up together. I'm older. They hang out. Like, and then there's a little bit of truth. He pauses and there's like, actually a lot. I feel a lot like I'm the outside of this. And I thought that was a really powerful and genuine moment as he kind of caught himself and really told how he feels.
Not to retread the same point over and over again, Brendan, but if you knowing that and knowing if you were Keegan Bradley at the Open Championship, how would you feel hearing that JT and Zach Johnson were staying in the same rental house? And even knowing that they do that every year, how would you feel about it? I think I'd be pissed.
I'd feel like bummed, shitty about it. I wouldn't feel great. I think Keegan probably has nothing against JT, maybe something slightly against Zach after watching this. Like, I think in the perfect world, Keegan would love, like, Keegan and JT are of a similar sort of motivation and mindset about the Ryder Cup, and they would be on the same team together. I don't know if playing together, that's a separate data discussion, but I don't think he's necessarily mad at I don't think he's necessarily mad at the boys, but he's mad at the boys' club nature, right? You know what I mean? And I don't
that's
know.
The captain.
He's got it. Yeah. And that's how do you think Zach came off? He's not super articulate. Like, setting aside the whole the picks debate and the appearance of impropriety or whatever you want to talk about, how do you think Zach came off in this? We've talked about Keegan and JT coming off well.
I think if you know golf, like it was what you expected from Zach in a negative way. I'm trying to think about, if you don't know a ton about golf or you're a casual golf viewer, do you buy a lot of the stuff Zach was saying? Like, it's just Team USA. It's not Team Live. It's not Team PGA Tour. Because a little more of the, like, if you followed golf closely, like, he didn't really give Live guys much of a look. So he can say it, but did it actually... saying it's different from reality. So I wonder how he came across to the casual fan. I don't think he came across well here, but I don't think he came across as a disaster. We'll see what the next two episodes show, but I mean, he was kind of a disastrous captain.
Right. He came across as what I expected, Zach. He doesn't give you anything too much.
What do you think he came across as to a new viewer, to somebody that's not familiar with him at all?
Maybe kind of tormented by the decision. I don't know, but I would hope you would see, like, holy crap, he's having dinner with one guy and the other guy doesn't have the inside track. And then they're going to go to the next episode and the picks are revealed. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, of course. And I found that interesting. JT lays it out at the end. He's like, if I don't make the playoffs, like, I would need a lot of luck and a lot of trust from Zach.
Trust.
To make it. Yeah, he says trust, a lot of trust from Zach. And he laid it out there. He doesn't make the playoffs. He says what happened. And it's not a great look for Zach.
Jay Tizzle didn't make the playoffs.
I mean, so bad. So bad. He's like, well, the other one was like, there's only two outcomes. Like, there's nothing I can tell him. There's only two outcomes. You're either on the team or you're not. Like, well, you're talking to him every day, you said. Like, so clearly there's more than just, like, the Manichaean black-white. Like, there's a lot of massaging in the middle there, in between. So
the key is constant communication, Brendan.
Right. Getting back to Keegan real quick, I did find his portrayal of Ryder Cup awesome. He goes, it's heavy, man. He talks about losing the Ryder Cup. He says it's heavy. That's probably the lowest point in my career, and I would like to change that. He says some of the best and absolute worst memories of his life. He talks about the Ryder Cup. And for me, again, this just is like what we want from sports, what we want from competition. Like, we want it to mean something so much. We want it to be so enjoyable, so full of potential, so full of promise, that it can also create the absolute worst memory of your life. Whether you're a fan and you got to root for your team, get like lose at the wire in the Super Bowl or whatever it is, like, this is what you want from sports. And it's just a distinction for the Ryder Cup, for the majors, that these guys, a lot of players, whether it's a major collapse or whatever it is, the worst memories of their lives, of their professional lives, often come at these events. And it's not going to be like the best and worst memory of my life is at Harbortown. Like, that's just, you're not going to say that. And I don't know. It was just another sort of very simple standard statement that was explicative of what the Ryder Cup and the majors mean versus everything else. That it just, there's promise and meaning that it can create the worst and most painful stuff and the best.
I think drifting off of that, maybe my favorite clip of the entire episode. Do you know what I might say here? I thought it was incredible footage that he wins the Travelers Championship and is feeling high. And
oh yeah.
And he says to his wife, like, do you want to go to Rome? And you can't hear that, but she explains her. That that's what he was saying. And they have the footage of him like whispering in her ear, and she kind of looks taken aback by it. Like, that's pretty powerful to come off of a huge win. All he's thinking about all day, he says, during that tournament is the Ryder Cup implications. He wins, he thinks he's got a good chance of getting in, and tells his wife it's time to start thinking about Rome. Like, that's a pretty cool way to frame what's coming later.
Yeah, that was powerful. And good on her for like recalling it, you know, coming out with it in the show. Do you want to go to Rome? He whispered to me. It has to be hard to watch if you're ZJ. Maybe it's not. He just doesn't dawn on him, but I don't know. It's like, holy shit, that was his first thing. Like, he wins on the PGA Tour, his home, quote, home event in New England. And he whispers that walking off. And it's, you know, evocative of his quote, I think about the Ryder Cup every second of every day. I mean, that's not possible, but we know it's really important to him. All right, where else do you want to go? You want to go JT, a little more JT? I thought, again, he's just had a really, really strong season. I don't fault him for really anything in this episode of him getting picked or whatever happens, but I thought him really endearing. Again, like the Masters, I thought the way he talked about the Masters missed cut, feeling way worse than the US Open 81. Because I don't know, the stain and suddenness of five bogeys in eight holes. And I think it just outlines how hard it is fundamentally to miss the cut at the Masters. If you're like pretty good, not one of the amateur, you know, or the old timers, like, it's pretty hard. It's like that stunned a lot. So as I lay awake at night thinking about wanting to play the Ryder Cup, and this is someone who's accomplished most everything, like, he's done a lot in the game. It's not a guy who's never been in the Ryder Cup. It's not a guy who's never won a major. I think that's like powerful and someone you want to keep on the team and in the process, that it still means that much to him. The playoffs quote I already mentioned. I love the powerful one was, if I don't make the playoffs, the trust thing, that one. But another powerful was watching the clip of him as a 16-year-old. Looks like he's getting emotional almost. He's like, and he says, quote, I'm trying to learn now like I was trying to learn then. And also, like, at a very low moment in his career, like, trying to figure out how to be a 16-year-old. Anyways, I just thought he came across, he's super, pretty raw, like, not, it's a small thing. He curses quite a bit in episode 1, 2, and then this one. I just find him to be, he's being pretty genuine and straightforward in a year that, let's be fair, is like as interesting as anything, right? For him, like for a story arc like this, it's not great for the resume, but it's really interesting to see a super talent lose it or not play up to his ability or what he thinks is his ability, and kind of a mental grind within the also context of trying to make the Ryder Cup. It was a great season to have him, and I think he performed well within the season.
I agree. Look, I think the way Justin Thomas handled the downswing in his career is like one of the most impressive turnarounds, because obviously this isn't shown in the Netflix show, but he kind of has recovered since then. Yeah. Since like after the season would have been filmed. I won't spoil what happens in the Ryder Cup in case some people who are watching don't even know. But like in the fall after the Ryder Cup, he started to play much better. And it's unbelievable how low his game was and how he's turned it around. I think the way he's talked throughout the entire process, been open about it on Netflix, like it's a pretty good model for how people should handle that kind of thing. What's interesting to me is like when JT's in a situation like, let's say the match on TNT, if he were going to be commentating, I'd almost be cringing a little bit. Like I generally have somewhat of a negative opinion of JT when he's on camera. Like he puts it on in a weird way that I'm not usually about, but I don't think he comes across that way on Netflix. I think he comes across much better and much more genuine. So I've had positive takeaways too. Do you have a similar, like, yeah, normally JT, like I'm good.
Yes.
On some of that.
Yep. I don't need to restate, but yes, I'm kind of along with you. It just not much about it feels phony at all. And maybe that's because he's really had to examine himself in this season of golf, you know, or he's humbled or whatever it is. But I found him to be really kind of genuine throughout.
Me too.
Let's rip through some notes. I loved when he said, his agent goes, when did they give you a new bag? He's like, whenever I ask. So it's like, it's not, because he's like, is that bag old and beat up to start Phoenix? He's like, I ask whenever I ask for one. I'm Justin Thomas. I get it.
Can we get into this with his agent? What the car ride where his agent's trying to squeeze in a Rome trip in the middle of the summer, and JT's like, I don't know if I have a couple weeks in the summer. And his agent
is
almost like,
that was.
You can swing that, right? Like, I feel like, why is the agent also going to play at...
I don't think that was ever going to be a thing. That didn't seem like a real possibility.
Probably not. It was just more like the agent's trying to convince Justin how to use his time. Like, isn't that not really the way it's supposed to go? To cram something else into his schedule?
I think they were just trying to make car talk or discussion. Probably. Yes, probably. There was no way. That's not the way it works. I don't know. Maybe it is. Who knows? What's a note you have?
The agent trying to get around in at Marco Simone. Let's see, a lot on Keegan and how much he wanted to be a part of it.
One thing I can throw out that cracked me up, minor note, Keegan talking about how he's older and from a different era, and he's like late 30s. He's got the freaking aggressive white undershirt under the polo golf shirt like we all wore in like the late 90s, early 2000s, like the aggressive white undershirt under your Abercrombie button down. That like cracked me up. That is a different era of like attire, is the undershirt guy right after he talks about it.
I guess I respected that Spieth asked Zach Johnson the chances that all of them sitting around the table were going to be on the Ryder Cup team.
Like, I love that.
Me too. It's way easier to avoid that question, but it's funnier to just throw it out there and press him on it. Like I appreciated that Jordan's come across pretty well in this season, despite kind of a limited role.
I agree. He's sort of filling the gaps for other episodes, but I think he's come across well too. So, I like Mike Thomas's quote, like the Ryder Cup as a distraction. Like he's like, you're looking way too far ahead. Like you never think about that. It's like totally distracted JT during the year.
He also talked about the Masters missed cut being a major setback for JT. Yeah. Which I think is interesting to admit.
Like kind of totally reframed the whole season and shook it to its core.
Right.
That was interesting.
I guess as somebody that follows golf pretty closely, like I don't usually view missed cuts that way. Like on to the next week. And to think about it being like a pretty big moral like destabilizer was interesting.
Yep. I had one about my quote from Golf Channel that got in there. I didn't expect that. He's not done anything to deserve a spot. He's not deserving a spot right now. I was talking about like purely on play, like you're 71st in FedEx Cup. That doesn't mean you get in the Ryder Cup. I remember there was context there, but whatever. I mean, it gave me appreciation for some of the like journalists that have to narrate this thing because they can chop and players who get taken out of context when they're trying to say, I wouldn't say I was taken out of context, but you know, the one nut quote that comes from a player when there was in a larger point.
Brendan, your one quote is somebody else's award on a Full Swing Thoughts, yeah, Full Swing Recap.
No.
Idiot Journalist that. Quote of the Week Award and goes to Brendan Porath on somebody else's podcast.
It was weird. I enjoyed the dramatic shots of JT on the dock at the end. It felt like out of a Sopranos episode or Sopranos because he talks about the ducks and this. You know how like Tony would be kind of off staring and they like do him like rumbling down as he's like having like slow-mo. It was weird. It was good. I thought it was well done and well shot, but yep. At the very end, it was kind of pretty dramatic. It felt like something that I would see in a Sopranos episode and a callback to that comment, the first part. Famous suitcase made me laugh. Having actual footage like that is a real thing. I figured it was just an urban legend or a tall tale. What else do I have?
I have Zach saying the state of affairs in golf hasn't changed my job at all. He's referring to the LIV PGA Tour schism and how he's got to make picks. And the only thing he offers is like, Brooks is probably going to make the team anyway. And doesn't mention like any other LIV player that potentially could be in consideration, like a Bryson, right? Or a Dustin Johnson, a Patrick Reed, a Taylor Gooch. Like he doesn't, I know he's not going to get into that, but it's funny to just be as dismissive and be like, nah, it hasn't changed my job at all. Brooks is going to make it and there's nothing else to worry about.
Yep. I love JT's comments about Fitz. Like, God, he works his ass off. He takes that notebook everywhere. Like small little thing, detail, but like players who are observing each other and like, it's true.
They also put down Alex Fitzpatrick a little bit.
What'd they say? Well, they said, which Fitzpatrick are you playing?
Yeah, Spieth says his tee time and he says Fitzpatrick and Zach Johnson says, which one? And Jordan kind of makes a face like, you know, which one, the good one.
Because, I mean, Spieth only gets featured groups and yeah, that was good. Last but not least, I thought if you were just watching this, you would think the Wyndham was basically like that last Sunday night football game of the year where like a playoff spot is on the line. Netflix got such a great year for this, whether it's true. JT battling for Ryder Cup, there's real actual Ryder Cup roster debates. Then they've got like the buddy system that's on display. And then you have JT, like the word playoffs in this episode sounds like it's, you know, Bills versus Dolphins, one team gets either in or one team's out, or you know what I mean? Like that. And that was the case. It was like a big deal for that one player, but we know it's not that major a thing for hardcore golf watchers. Of course, we see some of we used to watch the 125 shuffling, but then it's usually like whatever, Max McGreevy kind of, and it doesn't matter. But this made you think it made the playoffs seem super high stakes. It was interesting. Or the cutoff for the playoffs.
And the cutoff for the playoffs is complicated and how it's a moving target. And they did a good job of showing like, well, going into this hole, he just thought needed to make a par and now he needs to make a birdie, and then showing the projected standings. It's complicated. They did a really good job showing it.
It just, if you were watching this, it was like, it would have been like, you're getting in the dance or you're not. And we know
if you watch that, you'll probably be disappointed with this year's Wyndham Championship. Like that will probably not have that much drama.
Right. But it worked great for this episode. So I thought this was another solid episode. Is it kind of in the territory of the first three for you?
Yeah, I think so. It does feel like it's catering to a pretty hardcore golf fan in a way that the first season wasn't as much. So I think I would probably have a more favorable rating of this than maybe just a casual fan was, because we got so much of that Zach Johnson, like JT buddy-buddiness and what the implications of that are. So I don't know if I thought it was as good as the first three, but I thought it was good. What do you think?
Yep. They got a great material to work with, and I thought they told it well with the subjects they got and the scenes they got and all that. So, all right, that does it for episode 6 of Full Swing Thoughts. Two more to go. Looks like heavy Ryder Cup episodes. We'll be back.